Social Speech Podcast, Episode 11. This is where we look at how the newest communication technologies are transforming the oldest, public speaking. Over the next few weeks, I'm talking with some of the smartest public speakers, speech writers, communicators, and event professionals I know about how they're dealing with social media, the obstacles and opportunities, and maybe what the future holds. Maddie Grant is one of the duo at Social Fish. They're a social media firm in Washington, D.C. that does a lot of great work with nonprofits. She also headed up the online conference stream last April at the Nonprofit Technology Conference in San Francisco. It went wonderfully. She's the co-author of two books, and I got to illustrate one of them. And she has a lot to share, so let's jump right in. Maddie, hi. How are you doing?
Thank you, Rob.
And you, if I'm not mistaken right now, are you in New York City?
No, I'm just back in D.C. I was in New York all week for Blog World.
Yeah, the last Blog World, I understand.
Yes. It's going to be called the New Media Expo, I believe, from now on.
Well, you must have seen and heard an awful lot of examples of how people are using digital tools in public speaking and in organizing events, but you yourself just have this massive range of experience in the field. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Actually, I will just mention, since we're talking about Blog World, that there is it was a three-day conference, and there was a whole track about podcasting, which was two sessions in each time slot for 3 days, and there was a whole track for web TV, whatever that is, two sessions per time slot for 3 days. So clearly, this is a bigger and bigger and bigger topic. So from my own expertise, I do social media strategy for associations and nonprofits specifically. And as such, I've been presenting on social media for a really long time, since probably the beginning of social media. And therefore, I've kind of grown up with the evolution of different tools like Twitter, which of course became incorporated into how you present, during any kind of educational event from the very beginning. It was just a layer of conversation over a speaking presentation, very early on, and people were commenting about what we as presenters and any other presenter was talking about. And it was important to very quickly figure out how to incorporate those kinds of tools into our speaking style.
And how have you been incorporating them?
Well, so it's actually very simple. I think it's easy to overthink it. So in terms of Twitter specifically, or any back channel kind of social conversational tool, it's easy to think, this needs to be really obvious. So there needs to be a Twitter wall behind us, and you need to show all the tweets off during the event in various ways. And you have to have live blogging, and you need to include all the things. But I think what's actually much more useful is just acknowledging that there's a whole layer of social conversation happening around the event. And it's not so much about surfacing it as it is about acknowledging that it's there and having somebody in the audience who will monitor the Twitter stream, for example, for you. So that if a question comes in from somebody who happens to be responding to a tweet from someone in your audience, you can, periodically ask your monitor to shout out a question from Twitter. So it means that you know that people are there and they're paying attention to your presentation, even if they're not in the room. But it doesn't mean that you're letting it necessarily dominate what you're actually presenting.
So there has been that concern that's been raised by a few of the folks that I've spoken to that using the back channel can distract the audience from the person at the front of the room who's giving the presentation. But it's sounding like you've hit on an approach with the kind of occasional check-ins with the Twitter stream that
I guess, strikes a balance between the offline conversation that's happening in person in the room and the online conversation that's happening behind.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think that at the end of the day, I suppose there's an argument as to whether people in the audience who are also online tweeting, for example, are more or less engaged in your presentation. And of course, I believe, as someone who does that myself, that these are people who are much more engaged. It's become a way of taking notes, you know, of sharing what you, the speaker, are presenting to their audience who's not there. And, you know, I think it's not at all about being disengaged. I think it's actually about being much more involved and participating in that creation of content and that, you know, that educational piece. So it really depends on the attitude of the speaker, you know, how much you can really incorporate these kinds of social conversations. But I think it's my personal advice would be for somebody starting out is just to acknowledge that it's there, because it pretty much will be there for every single, you know, conference or every event, even if it doesn't really seem like it.
Kind of a microcosm of that social media dictum that the conversation is happening. It's the only question is, are you going to be part of it?
Right, exactly.
And are there ways that you have hit on to facilitate that conversation? Do you ever need to get the ball rolling? Do you ever find that there are audiences who are a little reticent?
Well, actually, yes. We've tried a tool that I will mention because I really love it. It's called Today's Meet, and which is today, TODAYSMEET, Today's Meet. It's a very simple sort of online chat room sort of tool, but you can invite the participants in your presentation, in your audience, to join this little chat room. So, you know, you give it a very simple URL, and it's very time specific. So you set it up for the day of your conference. And then in that way, you can actually invite people to try it without being on Twitter. Because, of course, Twitter specifically, to actually participate on Twitter, you need to already be on Twitter, already have a Twitter account, already understand how to use a Twitter hashtag, you know, all of these kinds of things. So little simple tools like Today's Meet, which are they're almost private. You need that direct URL to use it. But as a chat room, it's a way to introduce audiences who are not particularly social into the idea of being able to sort of comment along during your presentation.
And almost like a sandbox for people who haven't tried out Twitter yet. It's safe and secure while at the same time they're getting used to that. That's a really cool application.
Yeah, if you look at it, if you go to todaysmeet.com and you look at it, you'll see how simple it is. You just give your – they call it a room. So you name your room. So obviously your room could be your session, you know, keyword. And it, usually you can make it last, you know, 2 hours, 8 hours, one day. And you just create it purely for the duration of your talk. But you can ask people to introduce themselves in it. You can ask people to obviously, you know, answer a simple question that you're asking the room. And that, you know, there are other tools like this that have to do with polling, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But polling tools, you obviously need to have set up your questions in advance, and they're much less informal, I think, than this, although they can also be simple and easy to use. But I feel like this is specifically a great way to just show people what it's like to participate online, basically, at the same time as somebody up at the front of the room is presenting something.
Now, you were working, I guess, a few months ago with folks who are anything but newcomers to the digital space with the Nonprofit Technology Conference. And there, how did you phrase it? The online channel, the online component of the conference? But it really was a peer to the conference. It wasn't like it was this little thing that we're doing off to the side. It was very much integrated in what was going on.
Yes. So it was the online NTC. So the idea behind it, the goal behind it, was to allow people who could not travel to San Francisco to participate in the conference. So we did have a team of people who were live streaming specific sessions from the conference. So obviously the keynote, general session at the beginning and at various lunch times and that kind of thing, but also a choice of two sessions in each time slot were being live streamed. So somebody who was participating in the online NTC could really be sitting in front of their computer for 2 days and feel like they were part of the conference. So that was from an education perspective. But we felt that it was really important to also add a hybrid element. So what that means is that I was actually interviewing a whole bunch of different people in every little break time. So I did a little 5-minute introduction at the beginning of the day. And then at every point where people in the conference would be moving from a session room to the next session, you know, there would be a 15-minute break. In that time, I would have a couple of people being interviewed in front of the camera for the virtual audience. So of course, there are lots of people walking by. The whole point was to make people watching feel like they were part of the conference. But this content was not at all for the people in San Francisco. It was really designed for the people watching online. So I think that's the kind of thing that really acknowledges that there is, at least hypothetically, a really engaged virtual audience. For some events, of course, this virtual audience could be much, much bigger than the in-person audience. So it's a way to allow them to learn from the educational events in the conference, but also to participate more than just watching. So, of course, they can all be tweeting. Every session had a hashtag, including the ones that were live streamed. The video platform had a little chat area. There's lots of ways for people to participate in their own learning, is basically what we call it.
And are there ways that speakers can engage with that online audience when they're at an event that has that kind of hybrid approach?
Yes, that's actually a lot of what we're working on this year. It's kind of social learning is kind of our focus this year at Social Fish, which is my consulting firm. And one of the things we're trying to do is come up with some really good training materials for speakers for how to engage with a virtual audience. And it's really as simple as acknowledging that they're there. So, you'd be surprised. But we call it fourth wall, which is a term that comes from theater or from TV, and it's when an actor turns to the camera, basically, and talks to you, the viewer. So you're just saying hi to the virtual audience is a really great way to make them feel included. Then, of course, in a traditional educational session, it's quite likely that you'll have some discussion time in there. You'll ask the round tables to talk amongst themselves about some scenario or whatever. So, another great thing to do would be to give the virtual audience something to do in those little 10-minute segments when there's no actual speaker at the front of the room.
That's interesting. Do you have an example of one of the things you could get them to do?
Yeah, you just ask them to respond to a poll question, or you ask them to tweet answers to the same, maybe a shorter version of what the people in the room are working on. So anything that they can actually just write in an answer, whether that's through Twitter or through some other means, or just click on a poll, you could have, that would be the moment where you could set up a little poll question. Those are easy things to do.
That's so much better than my suggestions, which were going to be things like, floss now or launch your backup software.
You can also say, okay, you've got 10 minutes to go get coffee.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you want to really simulate the experience of being at the conference, make sure that it's lukewarm and get yourself a really high-carb snack at the same time.
Yes, exactly. That's my nightmare.
Not that the coffee at NTC was lukewarm. It was delicious. And are there things that we've been looking at this somewhat from the point of view of an event organizer and the people who are convening the online portion of that? If you're a speaker or an invited panelist, are there ways that you can figure out in advance maybe what that audience might be interested in, what their level of knowledge is beforehand, so that you can engage them in a way that really does speak to their needs and expectations?
Yeah, and I would love to really see this in action, because what I'm about to say sounds great hypothetically, but I don't know that any of us have been super successful at doing it. But as a speaker, of course, if there's a way to connect with your attendees in advance and maybe send out some questions, or maybe have people self-select as attending your session, there's some relatively easy ways to get some of that feedback in advance of the session. Any speaker who blogs and has a way to send out information to the people who are going to be there obviously can send out some questions in advance. And that's the same as informally through Twitter. You can say, I'm speaking at NTC. I'm going to be talking about, virtual and hybrid events. Let me know if you have questions in advance. Let me know if you're going to be there. In kind of social world that we're in, and of course, this depends on the specific audience that you're dealing with, but in some very social audiences, that's actually very easy to do. There's also, if you think about NTC as an example, the nonprofit technology conference we've been talking about, they had a whole agenda online. They had a whole conference kind of platform thing. So you could kind of self-select and choose the session you thought you would be going to. So, of course, on the day, that might not be exactly your schedule. But for a speaker looking at the same information, that gives them some idea of who might be in the room. If it's a very friendly, close-knit community like NTEN, it would be relatively easy to reach out to particular people and say, I'm interested in your feedback on these particular things that I plan on talking about in my session.
It's a really interesting area for me, just because I can, let me back up a bit. A few years ago, when we were working with the folks at Compumeter on the first Net Squared conference, we suggested an online component kind of as a way to deal with the fact that they had sold out very quickly, and there were a lot of disappointed people out there and saying, let's blow the doors off this thing and reach out. And it was very novel, I think, at the time. You've obviously advanced it quite a ways now, and I can easily see it getting to the point where it's now expected that there will be this distributed component. And it's not just going to be that we will live stream a few keynotes or make videos available afterwards. It really is going to be that you're an integrated participant in these things. Is that the way that you see it going for conferences generally, or do you think that this may be more of a niche thing for more technically adept folks, for example?
Well, interestingly, I think this is the way that it's going, and we're actually kind of banking on that because that's the trend that we're seeing, and we feel like it's really important for us as consultants who are experienced in the evolution of this stuff to kind of be ahead of the curve on that, and to be able to help train speakers and find different vendors for different platforms and all the different pieces that would be involved in putting on a hybrid event. I do think that we're also seeing a quite interesting trend in the meetings industry specifically, which of course is a huge industry. It's all trade shows and that kind of thing. They have very different technology, which is not necessarily social at all. It's these are things like virtual trade show platforms where you're walking around in like a 3D environment and stuff like that. So there's interesting stuff going on town over there, but that's about trade shows. That's not about education, which is kind of what we focus on. So for us, it's about thinking about how your education can be more participatory, because that's how people now communicate through social tools. And it can either be, you know, very sort of low tech, although it's still techy, but meaning that it can just be an acknowledgement that you will have a Twitter stream, for example. So setting up a hashtag, that's part of social learning or social events. Or the whole other end of the spectrum is having a live stream and a live stream platform, and maybe a roving reporter kind of person like I was, a live stream host or MC on site. You know, there's a huge range of different activities that you can do to acknowledge your more social audience. But at the end of the day, it's always going to be dependent on who comes to your events.
It strikes me too that we're thinking in terms of training event organizers and training speakers in ways of engaging online audiences. I imagine that there's a certain amount of training audiences in these are things that you can do and these are things that you can expect, and here are some tools for doing them and for participating.
Yes, that's exactly right. And we specifically work with associations who are they're all in various stages of becoming more social. So, and within one association, their audience goes from completely no idea, you know, what these social media tools are, all the way through to the other end of the spectrum.
Where they launch consultancies of their own?
Yes. But we talk a lot about how to make it easy for people to find out how to connect with the organization. So that's as simple as literally a piece of paper at registration or, you know, in your conference bags that says, here we are on Twitter, this is what we're doing there, here we are on Facebook.
Yeah, it seems as though the participatory nature of events like these, that it's either something that you're going to do as an organization or it's going to be done to you.
Yeah, exactly.
So for an individual speaker or a communicator or an organization, is there one tip that you'd suggest if they're thinking of dipping their toes into this or maybe advancing their practice a little bit on it?
In terms of tips, I think the beauty of social media in general is that it all happens in public. It all happens online. So there are lots and lots and lots of resources and examples for whatever the speaker might be about doing. So, you know, you Google something like Twitter for conferences or you know, any keywords or any terms like that, you'll come up with a whole bunch of different blog posts that really help with advice for speakers. There's a lot of fantastic content there, and it's all online.
And maybe one tool that folks can consider if they're trying to engage people that they've spoken to at an event or engaged the online audience.
Yes, I actually really, really love a tool called Storify. Now, this is a tool that you can use to record tweets and URLs and images and videos and all kinds of content from your event. But it makes it very, very easy for you, and it's actually a perfect example of how you can help move the needle for other people around you who might be interested in how to use these tools, because you can pull in some of this back channel chatter, you can pull in some of the links to other related stories that people might have tweeted during your particular session, and you can really show how this all comes together. And of course, the entire story that you've now created on Storify based around your session, for example, can be embedded in a blog post. So it's a fantastic and very easy to use way to tell the story of how social you were during your conference.
I love that too, because it kind of rewards people for having engaged with you, because now you're going to be linking back to them and you'll be giving them a little bit of prominence, and it invites further conversation.
Absolutely. And it also actually, you can choose to tweet out that you mentioned a particular individual in your Storify. So it's got all these very, very clever tools that will help with the sharing of the story once you've created it.
Maddie, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Rob.
Now over to you. If you know a great tool or tip for using social networks and shared media in public speaking, if you have a cautionary tale, or if you have some thoughts about where all of this is headed, let me know. Share it with me on the show notes. Just visit socialsignal.com/social-speech and look for the podcast link. Or email me, rob@socialsignal.com. The music for this podcast is Cold Cloth and an Ice Pack by the wonderful late Derek Miller. You can find this song and many others under a Creative Commons license at penmachine.com. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.